The Gospel is from Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "Well, what is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it was prepared." And when the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them all and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The comedian Lily Tomlin has a great line. She said once, "All my life I wanted to be somebody, but I see now that I should have been more specific." The desire and the pressure to be somebody is great in our society. The problem is that few of us really know what being somebody means. When will I know that I am finally somebody? Who will decide that? What will it take to get there? One day down the road, will I get a certificate or a plaque or attend an award ceremony that proclaims Randall Bruce Meisner as an official somebody? I doubt that. Those of us who are parents, we all hope that our children will make something of themselves. But what does that mean? Exactly. Many of us are climbing and working and striving to get ahead. But few of us have a clear picture of when that climb will be over. When will we be able to stop and say, "Now, finally, as of today, I am somebody. I have arrived." Everybody wants to be somebody. Since the dawn of history, human beings have been trying to move up the scale of importance. This was the clincher used way back in the Garden of Eden when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve. The real temptation was not an apple or a piece of fruit, whatever it was. The real temptation was the promise that when you eat of the tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like who? Like God. You will be like God, and you will know the difference between good and evil. You will be somebody's. And Henry Nouwen says that ever since then, we have been tempted to replace love with power. And so James and John, give them a break. They're just doing what human beings have been doing since the beginning. This morning, when they sidle up to Jesus and ask the question, "Lord, let us in to the inner circle. Let us be your VPs. Let us sit one at your right hand, one at your left, around the boardroom table." You see, somewhere along the way they bought the line that you are a somebody when you get as close as you can to the ones at the top and by any means necessary. You see, James and John knew that Jesus was going places. Yes, the storm clouds were gathering, but they absolutely believed that Jesus would win the final victory. And they had been, along with Peter, Jesus' chief assistants up to this point. So it seemed to them a reasonable case, a reasonable request to make. They believed that Jesus was bringing in a new world and that he would reign at the center of it as Lord. And they were right about that. The problem was that they thought that this new world would be set up just like the old world was, except with a new leader. The bad guys at the head table will be removed. Their chairs will be fumigated, and God's new crew will be shipped in with Jesus sitting in the number one position. And the way it worked would be that the most loyal members of his campaign staff would sit on either side of him. And then from the top to the bottom, all the new good people will begin to redeem the world. This is the ultimate trickle-down effect. But it doesn't work that way, Jesus tells them today, because the new world he's bringing is not remotely like the old one, not at all. The writer Barbara Brown Taylor masterfully paints a vivid picture of how Jesus explains this new world in the form of a new banquet, a banqueting table. She says that this new world for Jesus is a world in which the number ones are not the powerful ones having their pictures taken at the head of the table. The number ones are the quiet ones, slipping in and out among the guests, refilling the wine glasses and coffee cups, and laying down clean silverware for the next course. The number ones, the great ones, are not the dignitaries sitting to the left and the right of the ruler. They are the slaves who are stirring pots in the kitchen, testing the temperature of the soup so that it's not too hot or too cold for the honored guests. You see, James and John, they want Jesus to hurry and become king of the world. But he has other things on his mind. Has everyone been served? Is all the food on the table? Does anyone need anything? For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. End of quote. So here is Jesus' new world. Here is the new kingdom. Here is the new banquet table. Here is the new pecking order. All the somebodies are the servants. All the somebodies are the servants. And Jesus didn't just order his followers to become servants while he only played the part for a while. Jesus didn't merely pretend to be a servant until the time came for him to whip off his disguise and climb up onto his throne. Jesus is a servant through and through. And Jesus does not require more than he is willing to give. He modeled service and sacrifice from cradle to grave. James and John, listen. James and John, listen. The good seats are not his to give. In fact, he does not even have a seat for himself. Why do we scratch and climb and jockey for power and position, for status and security? Simply, it is we are hunting for an identity. Either we don't know who we are, or we believe that who we are isn't good enough. But on the other hand, when you have a clear identity, when you are secure in that identity, when you belong and you know where and to whom you belong, when you know who has called you, when you know who has named you and what that name is, when you know who has marked you forever, then you never need to ask the question, am I somebody? In fact, it becomes quite a ridiculous question, doesn't it? Called, named, marked, belonging. I think I'm giving myself away. Those of you that have heard me preach know exactly probably where I'm going now. I'm going right to the baptismal font once again. Back to that place. Back to that place. Once again. Because here is where it happens for us, friends. Here is where it happens. Through our baptism, we are joined to this servant slash slave slash waiter slash Lord named Jesus Christ. We are bound to him in water and promise, and his ultimate serving is in his dying. And in baptism, we join his serving because we are bound to the cross with him. We are buried with him and raised with him as new creatures. What more do we need in this life? Ask yourself that question. What more do you need in this life? What greater identity can you possibly dream up or sweat to achieve or strive for or work for or fight for than this name? Child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked with the cross of Christ forever. What else do you need? When we forget our baptismal heritage, shoving aside all the promises given to us in these waters, whether that was 95 years ago or 9 minutes ago, then we've got a problem. And our identity gets muddled and confused and pulled apart by forces around us. And you know who they are, the forces around us who are dying to tell us who we are and who we are not. Dying to tell us how to become somebodies. Buy this, inject this, smoke that, grab this, lust after that, consume this, purchase that, hoard that, save this, wear this, believe that, and then you will be somebody. And I am amazed at how many people and corporations and ad companies claim to know us so very well when they don't. Knowing they claim who we are and what we need, how can this be? Am I somebody? Child of God, you know better than to ask that question, don't you? It's just not a question you need to ask. You were joined to Christ, and you are freed by the knowledge of who you are. You are free to serve with Christ. You are free now to wash feet, to wait at tables, to take the lowest seats or no seats at all. You don't need to lobby for position anymore. You don't need to worry about your status or your place or scratch and claw your way to the top of the pile or the ladder or the hill or wonder what it takes to be finally called somebody. This is the key to the life that Jesus is speaking about this morning. And if we are not at rest, if we are not at peace with, secure in our new identity, then serving with Jesus will just be impossible. But when we know exactly who we are and in whom our identity is rooted, then we can serve our broken world. We can take the back seat gleefully and with joy and thanksgiving. The great evangelical preacher A.W. Tozer once preached a sermon about meekness and true servanthood. Here is a little bit of what he said. He said, Jesus calls us to his rest, and meekness is his method. The meek person doesn't care who is greater than him, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. He has accepted God's estimate of his own life. He knows he's as weak and helpless as God has declared him to be. But paradoxically, he also knows at the same time that he is, in the sight of God, of more importance than angels. In himself, nothing. In God, everything. In Christ, everything. Child of God, sealed, marked, filled, called, and named. Christian, you know who you are, don't you? So let the climbing end, because you are free now. Joined to Christ, you are able to serve, serve, and serve again. Servant, here is your identity. Here is your joy. Here is your peace. And here is your rest. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.